Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Nicole Cannizzaro, the Senate Majority Leader, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the state capitol in the old Supreme Court, and we are delighted to welcome to the program for the first time State Senator and the Senate Majority Leader, Nicole Cannizzaro. Pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
And the timing is perfect because yesterday afternoon you had a press conference, as we're taping this, to announce that funding for the teachers' raises, or at least the mechanism, was coming through. And so the marijuana tax will not now filter, at least portions of it, to the rainy day fund, but will go towards the teachers' raises. And then enabling legislation is being looked at for the counties to either raise a 0.25% tax or for it to go to a vote of the public. So what are your thoughts on this? Because I understand that you found out some of this yourself at the press conference yesterday.
Well, I am very excited about the bill that we have introduced and have been just really delighted to work with the governor and the speaker and Superintendent Ebert to ensure that the money that we said was going from marijuana that was directed to the rainy day fund is actually going to go to the DSA, which is where we fund schools out of. It's where our education dollars are. And so I think the idea that we are delivering for our constituents, that we are listening to what they are saying, and that, you know, that's what the deal was between them and us, and we're fulfilling that promise. And so I'm excited to see that money is actually going to go where it needs to go, which is education, and where it was promised to go, which is education. Assembly Bill 309 that you referenced, which is the Speaker's bill, I'm also very excited about the details of that bill. I think the idea that we're going to fence off some of that money for our teachers, who we know are hardworking, and we know that they work under very difficult conditions. The governor made a promise for a 3% raise, and we have made that promise as well. And so we want to deliver that for teachers. And I think the combination of looking at funding streams for education, making sure that the money that is supposed to go to education goes there, and ensuring that we are delivering for our teachers in the classrooms by trying to fence that money off to ensure those 3% raises is all exactly what we should be doing up here. And I, like I said, I've just been really honored to work with the governor and the speaker and the superintendent to make that a reality.
Okay, so obviously I've got to play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
And there are those that are going to say that the rainy day fund was a very necessary thing during the last recession. It barely took care of us during the last recession. We had to borrow a lot of money from the federal government and pay it back with interest. we're now going to take money away from that and put it towards teachers. And I'm, you know, obviously everybody, I think, is in favor of giving teachers raises. They've been hit so hard over the last few years. But what do you say to folks that are concerned about not continuing to contribute to the Rainy Day Fund?
Taking the money for marijuana taxes from the Rainy Day Fund and putting it into education, which is where it was designed to go, where it was supposed to go in the first instance, doesn't take away from money from the Rainy Day Fund. We still have ways to fund the Rainy Day Fund. We are trying to be fiscally responsible in that as well, because that's a reality. We as a state not only have obligations to fund things like education, to take care of our teachers, to ensure that we can continue to operate as a state, but we also have to make sure that we're taking steps to ensure that we can do that in the event of an economic downturn. And so taking the marijuana money out of the Rainy Day Fund isn't depleting the fund. And in fact, I think if you look as far back as last session, when we talk about the Rainy Day Fund, we've been putting money into that fund to try and rebuild it back so that it is a buffer in the event that we would need it. And so it can be designed to do exactly what it is going to do. So this is not an effort to take all of the money out of the Rainy Day Fund. It is not in any way going to mean that we're not contributing in any way to the Rainy Day Fund, but rather that particular source that was going to the Rainy Day Fund, which was never designed to go to the Rainy Day Fund,
right,
but for the actions that took place last session, that we are just putting that money where it was designed to go to.
Okay, so the other question that would come up, obviously, is that instead of the legislature raising the funding, which would mean an increase in taxes because there is no additional money, it's now being punted to the counties. And the county commissioners, have you already started hearing from them in terms of whether they're happy or unhappy about the prospect of them having to raise taxes in their own jurisdictions?
Sure. And I haven't talked with the county commissioners. What I can say is that I think we as a state have to start having a real conversation about how we fund education. And I think that you're seeing that conversation take place at the legislature from a legislative level. And I think that one piece of that is ensuring that we are creating some additional funding streams for education. You know, the other piece of that is that we in the Senate have introduced a funding formula bill to talk about how do we revamp the funding formula that has existed since the 1960s here in this state. We are talking about things like ensuring that if we put money towards teachers' raises, that it's actually going to go to those raises. And we're trying to make sure that the funding sources that have been designed and designated for education are going to education. I think these are all pieces of how we start having a real conversation and prioritizing education. And that is just one piece of it. And so I'm excited for the bill. I'm excited for the things that we're doing this session, and I think that we're really starting to have those conversations in a serious way.
Okay, so now let's throw out a couple of scenarios. My thought is that the odds are, in certain counties, that the county commissioners are not going to want to take the responsibility any more so than the legislature was for raising people's taxes. A lot of people look at sales tax and go, it's a regressive tax on the poor especially, and that sales taxes are high enough. What happens if it goes to a vote of the public and the public says no? Where is the money then for the 2 years of teachers' raises?
So obviously we're working to ensure that that money for teachers' raises is there. We are also talking about in AB 309 creating additional funding streams. I have heard from constituents and I've talked with folks throughout the legislative session that education funding, that putting money into education, that ensuring that our kids who are going to our public schools are getting a good education is a top priority. If it is a top priority, then we also have to start talking seriously about what that means, and I am hopeful that we can continue to have those conversations.
Were there any other suggestions of funding sources that came and were perhaps rejected at this point?
I don't know if there were a litany of other funding sources. I know that we are trying to ensure, we always knew that the money that was going for marijuana taxes was supposed to go to education.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest
pieces. I don't think that there's any argument on that.
Yeah, and so I think that's one of the biggest pieces that we've been talking about. And I think that you are seeing that in terms of the legislation that came out yesterday. But when we're talking about how can we start to increase some of these funding sources, this idea in AB 309 was something that we talked about. But I think, we're open to having those conversations. I think it's an important one to have, and certainly we are trying to move education in the right path forward.
Was there any talk at any point about raising what is the lowest gaming tax in the nation, 6.75%, when some jurisdictions are charging 30-40%, of raising that a quarter point, a half a point?
I don't know that we've had those specific conversations. Like I said, I think the primary thing that we've been focused on is ensuring that the marijuana tax money, which we always designate for education, went to education.
All right, let's take a break. More with the Senate Majority Leader when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Senate Majority Leader, Nicole Cannizzaro. Another tax question here is report from the LCB saying that it wasn't necessary to extend the taxes that were going to go away, that you didn't need a two-thirds majority to be able to get those taxes extended. The immediate response from James Settlemyer was that this could end up in legal proceedings. What have been the discussions since this all came out?
I mean, we've always been having the conversation this session about what about the MBT sunset. And so I am, you know, we obviously got this opinion from our LCB legal division that says that it's not a two-thirds vote to extend the tax. And so I am hopeful that we can continue to have conversations with our colleagues in the Senate and in the Assembly so that we're really making sure that we are funding the state the way we need to. We know that we don't need two-thirds for the vote. What would happen in the future, I can't speculate as to whether there would be challenges to it or not. That said, I am committed to...
You don't think Senator Settlemyer is serious? I think he's very serious.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he... I'm not going to speculate as to whether or not he would or wouldn't, and I'm not... That's not a characterization of whether or not he's serious about that. I'm sure that if he says he wants to institute legal proceedings, that that would be the case. We obviously remain committed to working with our colleagues. I am hopeful that we will all work together to ensure that the money that we need to fund education, to fund our teachers, that that's a priority for them as well, and that they are going to come to the table and we'll be able to do what our constituents send us here to do.
Was there, and I heard this, and you tell me if you know it to be true or not, that people actually looked at former Governor Jim Gibbons' testimony when he was an assemblyman to help ratify this decision that you didn't need a two-thirds majority because he was the one that that passed that.
And I can't speak to that. I don't know if I've had any conversations about that particular testimony or its impact on how we're moving forward this session. But certainly, I think the primary thing that we are trying to keep a focus on is that the money from the MBT is going to go to education, and that has to be a priority. And so I'm hopeful that we'll be able to work through the rest of session. And like I said, I am still very much looking forward to working with our colleagues in the Senate and in the Assembly, and with Minority Leader Sennelmeyer, to find solutions.
What have you heard from the business community at Las Vegas Metro Chamber about extending these taxes?
I mean, I can say that I don't know that we've had a ton of conversations about that. I think the biggest question in everyone's minds was whether or not it was a two-thirds vote, and we obviously have a legal opinion that says that it is not. We would like to have two-thirds support on something like extending the MBT, because it is the way in which we fund the state, and it says, you know, it says that we are going to put money towards education. That's what the MBT tax was originally designed for, so that we could fund education. And I don't know that that need has gone away. We still need to fund education.
We know the need is there. Right? It's just a question of, you know, the road you go down.
But so if we have the conversation, and say education is so important that we are going to have this MBT tax, and that money is going to go to education, and we know the need still exists, then the discussion about whether or not that has to be funded in that way shouldn't be such a hard one.
This is your first time. You're almost the accidental Senate Majority Leader because of things that happened earlier in the session. So this will be your first session of closing down the session. Less than 3 weeks ago, and all these major issues, as always, coming up at the last minute. Do you have any concerns that we may not get out of here on time?
I remain confident that we're going to be able to get out of here doing the job that we were sent here to do in the time that we were asked to do it. I know that there's still a lot of big things on the horizon, but I don't think that's any different than any other legislative session. I have really amazing colleagues in not only in my caucus, but in the rest of the Senate who care deeply about the issues that Nevadans face and are solution-oriented and want to come to a conclusion at the end of the 120-day session. So I am very optimistic that we will do so.
All right, and we will write down that optimism and we'll talk about it later. All right, and we'll be right back with the Senate Majority Leader after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Come visit Design Outdoor's store and backyard to see our wide selection of fire pits, barbecues, and pizza ovens, natural stone water features and fountains, and frostproof pottery. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both. But more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up!
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Senate Majority Leader, Nicole Cannizzaro. One of the big bills that is now landing on your doorstep is the criminal justice reform bill that Justice Hardesty was promoting heavily on this program a couple of weeks ago. Assemblyman Yeager was on the program doing the same thing. Yeager comes from the defense side of the table. You are a Clark County prosecutor. So how is this coming across to your house and how are you viewing this bill? Because there's a lot of discussion about this bill.
Yeah, so I will say this. My job here at the Nevada Legislature is to represent my constituents in Senate District 6, and to ensure that we're talking about policy that's going to benefit the state of Nevada. And so that's where my focus is. And this bill, I think, has a lot of really good pieces. We have to, I think, take a look at our criminal justice system to ensure that it is fair and that it is treating people fairly. That said, I will always remain committed to my constituents to ensure that, you know, we are being serious about violent crimes in our community so that they don't have to be victimized in that way. Obviously, I think the bill has really good pieces. It's still a work in progress. I think there were some additional amendments that were made yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. And so I'm excited to see the bill when it comes over to the Senate with those additional amendments, and we plan to have a full hearing so that we can hear all the pieces of the bill and have a full consideration of the policy changes that are being requested.
Okay, so you know, because you read in the media, that there is talk of pressure on you from your boss and from other DAs around the state who are very concerned about this bill. How does that respond with you?
I don't have pressure from my boss or DAs around this state. My job here at the legislature is to represent the people that elected me to be here, and that's where my focus is. And when I look at this bill or any other bill, that's where the concern is, right? Whether or not this is smart policy, whether or not what we're doing is going to achieve the goals that we're looking to achieve. And so when I'm looking
Let me back you up a second.
Sure.
So what are the goals that you are trying to achieve? Because from what Justice Hardesty said, what he was trying to achieve, and I don't think it was his primary concern, but huge savings over a 10-year period. But also that we have come over the last 30 years from this incredible tough-on-crime situation that was across the country, almost from the Nixon administration until recent days, and that there are a lot of people in prison who are there for crimes that really they shouldn't be in prison for, and that we have a choice between whether we let some of these people out and put them into other diverted programs, or whether we continue to build more prisons and spend more money. So how do you come down on specifics like that?
And I think that this is so much more than just a dollars and cents conversation. Certainly that's part of it. And when we look at some populations, I think that very much we can say, you know, there are people who are in prison who probably deserve not to be there. And I think that investing in diversion programs, we know that that helps to reduce recidivism rates. And so if we're talking about ways in which to improve the system, those are ways that, you know, those are things that we want to achieve. We want to reduce recidivism. We want to ensure that we are spending our resources wisely when we're talking about people who are in prison. That said, there are still people who are victims of crime that saying, you know, well, it costs X amount of dollars per day to put somebody in prison when your son or daughter was murdered.
Yeah, and I don't think anybody disagrees with those areas. And I don't think Justice Hardesty was in any way talking about letting people out. That I think his I'm paraphrasing, but was there are people that deserve to be in prison and they should be, and we should keep them there. So what are your biggest objections so far from what you've seen with this bill?
So I just wanted to touch on that last point very quickly before I answer your question.
No, you take your time. We've got time.
And so, you know, I think the point that I'm trying to make is that we have to look at this from not only from a savings to the state perspective, but also from a policy perspective, because our constituents demand that of us. And so I think when we're talking about, for example, in that bill, there are a number of changes to theft thresholds, which I think are still changing in some of the amendments. Saying that somebody should be in prison for a first offense for a nonviolent crime when the biggest issue is, you know, maybe a drug addiction issue, or that they need to pay restitution, that's where our focus should be, right? And those are the kinds of things that I think we can work towards in smart policy that are reflected in various parts of this bill. I will say that if we talk about ways in which we can improve the criminal justice system, last session I worked with Assemblyman Anderson to expand the Veterans Court program to our municipal and justice courts, because that's a program where when we know we have veterans who find themselves in the criminal justice system, oftentimes that's a result of their service. And when they're charged with certain crimes, that's the best place for them to be, to get connected with services, to go to work through the VA, to ensure that we're taking care of them, and also, you know, to recognize recognize that that's exactly how we are going to reduce recidivism. I know that in that bill there are a lot of conversations about the changes to, for example, home burglaries. When I talk to my constituents in Senate District 6, home burglaries I don't think are where we should be focusing a lot of time, but when we talk about some of these other penalties, I think there's some good stuff in that bill.
Let's go to one last topic, and we've only got a minute left. Senator Giulia Ratti, the Assistant Senate Majority Leader, has turned low-income housing into something of a personal crusade. How much can state government do about the housing crisis, or do we do what happened in the late 70s, for example, in northern Nevada, where time took care of the problem? Builders came in, they saw opportunity, they built, and people stopped living in tents on the river.
I think if you look at the work that Senator Ratti has done through the Interim Committee on Affordable Housing, it's evident that there are ways in which we can ensure that we have not only a good economic environment to help attract that change over time, but also things that we can be doing to make sure that people are being treated fairly. I think one of the biggest things that came out of that was the request for affordable housing tax credits, which can work to actually increase the number of units that are available, the number of dwellings that are available for people. That's part of the problem too. And I think that that's a great solution that we're working very hard towards. With the $10 million in tax credits, we're talking about up to 600 different units that could be made available for people to live in. And tackling the affordable housing crisis is a big priority for us.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you so much at this time in the session for taking out this much
thank
time
you.
To come visit with us. We really appreciate
no,
it.
No, thank you for having me.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Penny! Dad? What are you learning? This place is great.
Huh?
You gotta try this. Wow! This stuff is great! People are gonna love it!
Yes. Yes, they were.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
In addition to NevadaNewsmakers.com, you can also watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.